like to welcome everyone and call to order the October 5th, 2023 meeting of Energy, Environment, and Sustainability Committee. And will the clerk kindly call the roll, please?
Chair Green?
Present.
Deputy Chair Hansett?
Present.
Legislator Levine?
Here.
Legislator Maloney? Legislator Stewart?
Here.
And
Legislative Chair Bartels?
Here.
Five present, one absent.
And when Legislator Maloney
yes.
is in the building, we'll just note that he's arrived. And we'll start with a Pledge of Allegiance. And we have a volunteer that would like to start the pledge. Please, Aaron.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, and we've kind of rearranged our agenda to be sure we get through the resolutions. So we will
start. Chair, I just want to note Legislator Maloney is in attendance.
Okay, great. Welcome. And we're going to start with the resolutions. Some of them will overlap with some of the reports, but we'll deal with that as it comes up. So, have folks had a chance to look at the minutes of the September 7th meeting?
Yes.
May I have a motion?
Motion. To approve?
To approve and seconded. Okay. All in favor of approving the minutes of September 7th, please indicate.
Aye.
Aye.
Anybody oppose? No changes? Okay, we're all set. And now, in terms of resolutions, resolution number 386, requesting enactment of a Senate bill and Assembly bill in the New York State Legislature to amend the membership of the Ulster County Resource Recovery Agency.
So,
thank you.
I do still feel strongly that this is going to be one important component, the expansion of the board. The way that this is contemplated is it expands the board to 9, keeps 6 appointments with the legislature, gives 3 appointments to the executive, and also involves the supervisors group in terms of making a recommendation to the legislature, and as it's drafted right now, asks that that recommendation be a sitting supervisor or mayor. I think this is something. Let me just begin by saying it's not likely we're ready to move on it this month. I think that we do need some more conversation, but I really want to lead by asking for everyone to think about it and provide feedback. I think it is, and Legislator Maloney's brought it up before, the idea of having more involvement at the table. This is one way to do it in terms of getting the Supervisors Association and the executive engaged. When the RRA was created, there was no executive office. That's why everything lived with the legislature. There was no executive to have appointments. And we've heard that over the years from the executive offices in terms of not having appointments. It doesn't give a majority of appointments, but it does give them a seat at the table. I feel similarly for the Supervisors Association. The prohibition on having elected officials on the board is unique to Ulster County, as is other aspects of the enabling legislation, much of which we have no idea why. I mean, we don't have the history of the intent. We know that in the enabling legislation that we were not allowed to have flow control of recyclables where other counties can. That was self-imposed. That's what we asked. None of us at this table, but that's what was asked. I don't know why. It's just similar. So we look to Oneida Herkimer, and they have elected, and they have a big board that's appointed by many different appointing authorities. So I think I believe that no matter what the final picture is, short of dissolution, if an agency stays as a standalone agency, we're going to need to expand the board to have more people at the table. So I feel strongly in this. But again, I want to hear what you all have to say, and I don't expect, I'm not rushing it. I think it's a part of a larger conversation.
Let's do a motion to discuss first, and then let's put a motion.
Okay.
A couple things. First of all, there was no executive before the charter, but yet the executive is everywhere in the charter. So the fact that the executive is not very involved with the RRA and the IDA is similar to a lot of other counties, because you didn't want the executive necessarily involved in tax abatements and garbage. So I don't necessarily think it was an oversight. I think it was maybe something that we'd have to explore. But like all these things, there's questions. And I've talked to supervisors over the last couple of days. I've talked to a couple of legislators that were, I think, both at the last RRA meeting. And many of us don't, feel as though maybe 386 is something that would end up making sense. But we kind of got to take a look at what's going on over there and have some conversations, which is what, I don't know if that's new business, sounds a lot like what we were going to be doing in my committee resolution with Eric. It was disappointing to hear from a supervisor that spoke very positively about it. It was really disappointing to be told that the chair was going to call me with some recommendations and then gave me the impression that she would be supportive of the committee and then started making phone calls urging people not to support it. So that was a pretty,
I don't know what you're talking about.
Move there, but this is more like a medication, and you do an examination, you figure out what's wrong before you start fixing problems. You got to understand the problems. So I think this 386 looks like something that could end up being a recommendation out of a special committee, or if we're replacing the special committee idea with what's on new business, because it seems like they're very similar, those conversations about the expiration of the contract and the future of the agency. So how this got on here without into new business with so much specifics as far as possible dates, without speaking to the people that put in the resolution that would be doing a lot of this. And then on top of it, like I said, having leadership go to the supervisor that spoke at public comment and then urge him not to speak positively and the committee won't work after you told me, it's just downright not nice. And I don't think the way a chair is supposed to empower the entire legislature. I'm all for postponing at this point. Because I think, like I said, 386 is something that could end up being a recommendation, or something like it could end up being a recommendation. But we got to do our due diligence and look into actually what's going on over there. I'm not sure, and to the supervisors and the legislators I'm talking to,
I'm going to ask that people, you wrap up, because I want to say something about the whole future.
Yeah,
of the RRA.
I prefer you give me a call or email once in a while and talk to me about some of the stuff. I'm on the committee here, and as the chair of the committee, I think we're suffering from a lack of communication, but go ahead, let's communicate now.
Well, on the agenda, because the RRA is taking so much time with the legislature, with the caucus, and with this and other committees, I was going to propose that we have a focused meeting and bring in not just us, but other people who want to contribute, because this resolution, and to a lesser extent the resolution that you're proposing, but this resolution in particular, if ultimately we're going to be going to the legislature to ask that the agency be disbanded and become a department or whatever that recommendation might be. And it's on the table. I'm not taking a position one way or another. We have to figure out what this legislature is going to be recommending moving forward. If the committee so desires, because this is an existing resolution to decide upon, we can do that sooner, but it seems to me that sorting out the future of the agency would affect this resolution more than the resolution that Legislator Maloney is proposing, which we have the power to do and can do sooner. But I will call on people, but what I don't want to do is have this meeting focus on the future of the RRA. I would like us to agree to have a focus meeting so we can get through the agenda and the other items that are in front of us. You said there was one other person before?
No. I'd like to say something.
Okay.
The chair also had, she had her hand up before I did.
Okay.
That's okay. You could go.
Mine is just a very, that I need to learn. So when we do something like this and we request an enactment of a Senate bill, an Assembly bill in the New York State Legislature, what's the time frame on that?
So, well, it varies, but they obviously have to be in session.
Right.
So we're not pressed right now because mm-hmm. they're not in session. We would expect it for the next session cycle, but I think we would want to have a little bit of lead time to pass it, which we're not even required, frankly, to pass it, but it just makes it a stronger case, and then also to be advocating to our reps
okay.
to bring that bill forward right. once
Thank
they're
you.
Back in session. Eric, can go
first. Please.
I just wanted to echo some of the comments we've already heard.
I can't hear you.
I just wanted to echo some of the comments we've already heard. I agree with a lot of the points that Chair Bartels brings up in this resolution. I think that expanding the board at UCRA probably is a really good idea, and I like the idea of involving elected officials, especially town supervisors. So I'm fully in favor of that. I think that your comment about not taking action currently probably makes a lot of sense until we have a better grip on the direction that we want to see the agency go, and also what we just discussed with the time frame situation, with this being dependent upon the state legislature. I don't know if this is also the correct place where I should insert this, but I also think it's very important that this committee hear from the former director of the agency, whether that's in the form of an exit interview or just simply hearing him air his concerns and observations about what happened prior to his dismissal. And I think that Legislator Maloney is totally correct that we really need to kind of investigate, and I use that term loosely. I don't mean we need to do an investigation, but I think it's very important for us to
be an educator.
Thank you. Yeah, I think it's very important for us to hear from the former director because I think that a lot of the situations that he encountered could very well be encountered by the new incoming director as well.
Okay.
I'm willing to wait. But I do think that there is a time sensitivity, not specific to the being in session, but the fact that I think that this is one critical piece of moving forward, and we have a contract till 2025. I think seeing more an expansion of the board in advance of that will have a positive effect. The discussion about as you're talking about in terms of future recommendation of the legislature, having gone down that road twice before, having been on the committee that looked to the future of the RRA in terms of
I forget what that committee was called. That one. There was one before, Carl Del Filio, where we were looking at the dissolution of the agency. There were two of them that I sat on that had to do with that. And there are many volumes already published on it that broke out the finances of it at the time. And I think if that's what this committee and this legislature wants to do, which is going to be primarily done in the next legislature, that's fine. But the idea of taking it over, making a recommendation to take it over as a department is a fairly heavy lift, and I would hate to lose the time between now and then to actually expand the board from 5 members and to engage the exec's office and the supervisors. I do feel strongly about engaging the exec's office. Again, like I said, Oneida Herkimer has appointments from both Oneida and Herkimer's legislatures, and it has executive appointments as well, and they're often looked to as the gold standard in the region. And I'm not going to get into a debate here, but and I could talk to Legislator Maloney offline. I just do want to say that I don't appreciate the constant attacks and allegations of hearsay.
Did you call Mike Baden?
I did not call Mike Baden.
You didn't talk to Mike Baden.
I talked to Mike Baden
at the end of a
meeting.
And did you ask him not to support the commission?
We were not talking about this. We were talking about Kevin Roberts' resolution from last month. That's what I talked to Mike Baden.
We can bring Mike Baden right in here.
I talked to Mike Baden about that. And that's the point. You come to meetings and you want to burn the house down and you make your hay by pointing fingers and attacking people. That's the way you roll. I'm just saying I don't appreciate it.
I don't appreciate it either. I don't appreciate a lot of what's happened the last 2 years. And I hardly make allegations.
But you absolutely
make allegations. 701 Grand Avenue, Paradise Lane.
I don't have a gavel, but let's not continue.
Elizabeth Street, as you allow all these things to happen and make deals, I'm trying to clean this county
somebody
up.
Somebody want
to
call security? I'm not going to.
Laugh all you want.
I will.
That's why you had 4 people there last night from the legislature.
I will.
2 of them don't even like you. It's going to be a much different term next year.
I'm sure.
A much better term.
All right. So, do I hear a or shall we take no action, or do I hear a motion to postpone?
There's a hand.
Laura.
Yeah,
I'm sorry, Laura.
You know, I think action should be taken on this resolution. You know, otherwise, we'll just have to wait till next year. And I don't know who's going to be bringing it forward if we wait that long. I mean, you have the two houses in the state that'll take forever to get through, and then we have to get it signed by the governor. I mean, it's a very long process. Meanwhile, we're moving closer to our contract with the RRA in 2025. And honestly, I would be uncomfortable, you know, dictating anything that we expect them to do unless it is contractual. So we will have those 2 years to decide what's going into the next contract. But or a year, and it's not even. It's going to be 2024.
Less than a year and a half.
I mean, I'd like to see this committee take action on this.
Can I just ask quickly? So you said if we didn't act on it now and we even put it off 1 month, why would we have to wait?
Well, I mean, if you don't act on it now, you may get it through next month, but then will it actually be... I mean, what if there's more discussion? It's got to go through Ways and Means, Laws and Rules. Are you sure it's going to pass all those committees by December?
What's the assembly in the state?
Only 2 more months.
Yeah, I still think
so. Second week in January, they're back.
Second week in January, they're back, yeah. So
they're not even back in session until the second week of January?
Not unless it's called for an emergency.
And they're not calling an emergency for this. We're not losing any time.
I think we could handle the month.
My preference would be to set time aside in a special meeting and then come back next month and act. But I want to ask how the committee feels about that.
Is this how we feel about putting this off or how we feel about calling a special meeting? Because I think a special meeting...
I'm assuming there will be a special meeting. Maybe that's not a fair assumption, but...
Sounds like we have a month or two on this before we'd be holding anything up, since there's no one to even send it to until mid-January.
I know, it's like the budget, everything is like at once.
Yeah.
Is it possible to just put it off, formally postpone 1 month?
I would say, I would make that motion.
I don't have an objection.
Who second?
I'll second it.
Okay. So, all in favor of postponing resolution number 386 for 1 month?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Joe, did you vote?
I'm in favor.
Thank you. All right, resolution number 433. Did I do all in favor?
Yes, you did.
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Resolution number 433, urging the government of the state of New York and the United States to establish fossil fuel-free, a fossil fuel-free state and federal public transportation service. And is this Legislator Erner? There you are.
Yes, thank you, Chair Green. The so this the language here I'm actually going to have incorporated into an amended resolution 464, which unfortunately I don't think is going to come before your committee, but it is in public works, and it will be in ways and means too. It's having to do with a public transportation level of service policy. And so I'm going to take the sense of this resolution and add in a call for the state and federal governments to do what we cannot do ourselves in the county to help with public transportation here in Ulster County. So although I'm not asking to withdraw it right away, I would be happy to take no action so that it can do what I just described.
All right. Sponsor requests no action, so I think we can move on. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Oh, no, it's okay. I was just going to ask Legislator Erner, can you circulate the changes that you're proposing in terms of the incorporation to, I'm assuming, to this committee as well, even if it doesn't get seen in this committee, but to me as well?
Yes, I will do that.
Thank you.
Chair Bottels, yep. No problem.
And you said it was 464, the other one?
Yeah, it's going to go into 464 pretty much as you see it presented here. Just I'm going to take the whereases out of here and take the resolves out of here and add them to 464, which has already been introduced.
Okay, and that probably should still come back to us. But
why do you think it wouldn't come back here?
I would love for it to, but that's up to Clerk Fabella.
Okay.
Yeah, I'd love your opinion on it.
Okay. Thank you. Resolution number 549, establishing the Ulster County Resource Recovery Agency Reform Committee. Motion for discussion?
Motion.
And seconded. Go ahead.
Well, for one, over the last couple of months, sometimes in executive session, but it had nothing to do with what we were talking about in executive session, but I literally begged us not to leave the meeting until we set up some meetings. And we continually left the meeting, even though I think there were those of us who would have liked to set these meetings up, schedule dates. We consistently didn't. So we went and put in for a special committee. Then we get tripped up, and now there's suddenly, I'm all for these special meetings. It seems somewhat duplicative, but, so I'd like to hear what everyone thinks. Kevin Roberts did say that if the Democratic caucus was not interested in this, to please pass it, the Republicans would take it over, and he promised things would get done and good recommendations would be made.
Well, again, I would like to have a meeting that focuses on the future of the RA. My sense of this is that a similar group does need to be convened, even if it's the fourth or fifth. And by the way, I wanted to point out that some of the concerns about the structure of the board go back more than 30 years. So some of us remember the details. But anyway, my sense is, and I don't object to the word oversight, but I believe there's language about doing investigations, and I'm not sure that I think what's needed is a body that meets together that has representation from the executive branch, from the legislature, from the UCRRA, and also other key stakeholders. But initially, I think that this committee should make time to focus and start sorting out priorities. But for now, let me hear what others think.
I don't think the word investigation is used.
Yeah, I think you should use review instead of investigate.
Where
it's in the first resolve, Joseph. It's actually a critical verb.
Yeah. Oh, the first resolve. I'm sorry. Oh, to investigate. I'd be happy with amending that out right now if you'd like to.
Yeah, that's right.
Do I hear a second to?
Do we want research? What's the word we want?
Review.
Or suggested review instead of investigate right. Circumstances surrounding
yep.
Just
that's
review.
Right.
Operation.
I second the amendment.
Okay, all in favor?
It's a first resolve.
Would you please just read the amended section? Just to be sure.
Sure.
You
want me to read
it?
Yeah.
Ready? Okay, go ahead.
That the legislature established a special committee known as the UCRRA Reform Committee to review circumstances surrounding
review UCRRA operations and policies.
Okay.
Well, those three words, get rid of investigate circumstances and surroundings.
Okay. We have a motion and a second to amend. The amendment's been read. All in favor of that amendment?
Aye.
Anyone oppose? Motion carries.
So just for clarification, we're changing investigate to review and we're striking the terms circumstances surrounding, correct?
Correct.
Thank you.
Okay. Then, do we want to act on the amended resolution?
We have to vote on the amendment still.
I thought we just
did. We just did.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
So, can I raise a different issue?
Yeah.
Okay, so the second to last resolve is one of the resolves that I had concerns about, and we've talked about in caucus, which is the resolve that relates to interviewing UCRRA staff and directors. You know, on the face of it, it sounds fine, but a lot of the discussion surrounding the resolution, again in caucus, had to do with an investigation into the personnel issues that were discussed. That's the tenor of the conversation in caucus, which that part of it gives me concern. I don't know if we can speak to that and the intent of that resolved.
No.
So it wouldn't
council?
Be David, it would be, no, it would be the sponsors.
Okay.
I was hoping to have an email with the concerns before the meeting, which I called wouldn't happen. It didn't, but I'd be happy to amend that out. I wasn't crazy about the language as well. after the caucus. I think it would be, I think it should be more, I thought it was probably worded too strongly where it should be more speaking to those willing. We don't have the right to go in there and talk to anybody that doesn't want to talk to us. So if we, you know, so who, yes, so it would be more, yet be more of, it would be something that we would be looking to do possibly as anyone willing to, whether they formerly work there, currently do, or they frequent the place, but we don't have, I don't think we have the authority to go in and start interviewing employees of a public beneficiary corporation. Yeah, so that we can't subpoena anybody.
Then would you just, what legislator Peach just suggested was striking after meetings, leave that resolved as the reform committee shall establish its own schedule for meetings, recognizing that willing interviewees are willing interviewees. The commission, the committee could interview whoever it wanted if they were willing to be interviewed. You don't have to put that in the resolution.
Yep.
So it would be an amendment to say, resolved, the UCRRA reform committee shall establish its own schedule for meetings, or shall establish its own schedule, and be it further, so it would strike four meetings, and shall be empowered to interview UCRRA staff and directors as it deems appropriate. Again, recognizing
you would strike that, you're saying?
Yes. You would, yes. Strike from four through appropriate. Just leave it as shall establish its own schedule.
Gina and Aaron. Mm-hmm.
So, and that's fine however we want to word that, but I think it is important that, I mean, I sit here as vice chair of this committee, and we've just had a huge situation there. And I know nothing. I understand there's privy and there's all this, but if there are people that want to speak about what happened, I think they should be able to. Because again, we're sitting here in the same spot that we've been in for months. We did one set of interviews, and then a couple months later, we did another set of interviews. And we had high hopes, and we sit here now in October in the same situation, and I don't know what happened, and maybe I don't have to know everything that happened, but I would like some insight. So I think that if we have some leeway there in that resolve, it would be helpful. I hope that makes sense.
Hold on one second. I just want to caution us that it's not even the board of the RRA that is responsible for the staff, and it's certainly not a new committee. My understanding is that the executive director manages the staff. The board has input, although it doesn't by any means manage the executive director or the staff. And then this is a committee that I'm hoping that the committee can do things like find a way to finish the zero waste implementation plan, have input into landfill siting and things like that. But when it comes to staff, I'm not sure that, not that anyone who wants to speak to either this committee or if this oversight committee is formed, and it's a personnel matter, then it's, you know, executive session. So, please, who was
Laura? Laura has her hand. Eric.
Aaron.
I don't know who was first.
Yeah, all right, Laura, and then
Aaron,
and then Tracy.
I don't know if you can tie in, because the one resolve does say you'll be reviewing operations and policies.
I was going to make that.
And making, So would you need something more? Because obviously if you're looking at recommendations and policies, you could also invite in, you know, members of the public, members of the agency to, you know,
that's,
I don't know if you
want
to call
game.
It interviewing, but to be part of a roundtable.
Yeah.
So do you have to, does it have to be specific if it's already in the other resolve?
No, I just don't want that committee to get involved in personnel issues.
Yeah.
So this would be. I agree with what legislator Hansett and Petit were saying in regards to. I don't think the proposed amendment to this resolution would prohibit anybody who's willfully wanting to come and speak to this committee or the proposed reform committee from coming and speaking their mind about issues. So I don't see an issue there in terms of having to explicitly state that people are are able to come and speak to us. I don't see us having to actually put that specifically in a resolve. But I would, in relation to what Legislator Petit was saying, I think that it will read cleaner if we could strike out the second to last resolved and just put and just add to the last resolved that the UCRRA Reform Committee shall establish its own schedule for meetings, comma, and that within 6 months of its initial meeting. I think that reads much clearer and cleaner. I would just add that. I would strike out the second to last and add that the UCRA Reform Committee shall establish its own schedule for meetings to the last resolve.
I second that.
Okay.
Before
we call, we'll vote on the
I had 2 points of clarification. One, I was wondering if we could get someone to read the language that we just discussed.
The one that Aaron just read?
Yes.
Yeah.
I could read it if you want.
Perfect.
It would be striking the second to last resolve, and then the last resolve would read, resolve the UCRRA Reform Committee shall establish its own schedule for meetings, comma, and that within 6 months of its initial meeting, the UCRRA Reform Committee shall provide a written report of its findings and recommendations to the Ulster County Legislature, and be it further, that would be actually be removed, and get rid of and be it further, that's a typo. So that would also be stricken, and move its adoption.
Okay. Thank you for that. I also had another point of clarification. Are we saying that this committee would not be able to interview employees of the agency if those employees were willing to speak?
No, they could.
That's correct, yeah.
Okay, great, because I think it would be great to hear from some of the employees.
Just real quick to another point that I think would come out of this commission, certainly for the legislators that were on it and were present or involved in talking to those that were, we end up appointing these people, and we have the best intentions. They're usually highly intelligent. They have a lot of institutional knowledge as far as solid waste and recycling goes, and then they get there, and all hell breaks loose. And I think a commission like this, we need to educate ourselves, like Gina is saying, on what is really going on over there, because we also need to move, when we're appointing, I think we need to come up with some kind of we need to understand. Andrew, you can attest, what's a 360 review? That we expect this board to all of a sudden function. I never thought about that we're asking them to do real human research, resource work and whatnot. But those are the kinds of things we're going to educate ourselves on. And when it comes to chain of command and all those other things, it's not that simple. I think that's what we're going to hear from interviewing different people that are involved and were involved in different ways, both working there, frequenting there as a customer. We're going to hear a lot of stories about there being a lack of chain of command and no one knowing who's in charge, and a lot of people butting heads thinking that the director is not in charge of the plant, you know, things like that, the lawyer aspect of things. And I think we're going to be much better at appointing, asking questions, and educating the people we end up appointing, because right now we're sending them what we don't even know what's going on over there, and then they get there and are in way over their heads because I don't think we prepare them well enough. And we'll be finding a lot of this out. We'll be educating ourselves. We need to be educated on what is going on over there and what they're in for. And there's the contracts up, the enabling legislation, or whatever you want to call it, I think desperately needs to be examined as well, which is, I think, mentioned, yeah, and the new business proposal as well. But this won't hurt.
Can we move the amendment? And then I had my hand up before.
Okay. I just do want to say that my hope is that this oversight committee will actually try to advance our collective goals of maximizing waste diversion and having input into landfill siting, et cetera. I'm not convinced that that's what it's going to do.
There's an amendment.
The question's been called.
Yeah.
And are you ready to
vote?
It's
in my amendment. Can I?
Yeah.
So I can I?
You made it already. I seconded it.
Okay.
Already. That's
so
what I was saying. It's already on the floor. We're
so can we
field.
Vote on the amendment then?
Oh, okay. Thank you. On the amendment, please read that result.
I'll read it again if you want.
One of the results is being removed.
The second to last resolved is removed, and the last result will read, resolved, the UCRRA Reform Committee shall establish its own schedule for meetings, comma, and that within 6 months of its initial meeting, comma, the UCRRA Reform Committee shall provide a written report of its findings and recommendations to the Ulster County Legislature. Strike and be it further. And it ends. And I've seconded that already.
All right. So on the second amendment, this amendment.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Anyone opposed? All right. Yes.
I had two other suggestions, if I might. I'm not going to make them as motions yet. One is in the first resolve. It actually, Legislator Maloney just touched on it. I think that we should add, I know we've already amended the first resolve, but I think we should add UCRRA operations. It says operations and policies. I think it should say UCRRA enabling legislation, operations and policies, or in whatever order. I think it has to include enabling legislation in that resolve. So it could say operations, policies, and enabling legislation. That's how we refer.
I think chronologically it would be better.
So start with enabling legislation, policies, and operations.
Yeah.
Is that, because not reviewing enabling legislation is a mistake.
On the amendment as just stated.
What about the? Do you want to throw UCRA contract in?
That's what Laura just said.
Oh, okay.
Do you want that?
Yeah,
do it
that
all
as
one.
Well, and I think that will make sense.
Okay. Enabling legislation, policies, operations, and contractual agreement with Ulster County. So I make that as a...
And can I request that at some point after the meeting that we receive the updated resolution to the language since we've made all these changes?
Do you want me to read the amendment that's changed? Because it was already changed. Hopefully I get it right. It would read, resolved, first one would read, resolved that the legislature establishes a special committee, comma, known as the UCRRA Reform Committee, to review UCRRA enabling legislation, comma, policies, comma, operations, comma, and contractual agreement with Ulster County and recommend reform measures to the legislature and be it further.
I would just put in the contractual.
The contractual. Did you get that?
Mm-hmm. All right.
So that's, I do have one more, but let's deal with it.
Okay. Let's
do we have a second?
You
got it. Yeah.
Yes. Before we vote on that.
Thank you. I want to urge the committee to pass this whole thing, but it's occurring to me as we're rewriting this resolve, does anyone in the administration currently play this role, or is there someone in the, is there an administrator within the county government that's supposed to be executing this kind of oversight right now?
So it's an independent agency.
That's the whole point.
That's
we
the
don't
point.
Have this, so we're not doing that.
We don't have a solid
okay.
Yeah, public
that's
bank
well, that's
corporation.
The point. They're their own corporation.
Thank you.
Are we ready to vote on this amendment, please?
Yes.
All right. All in favor of the amendment as just stated?
Aye.
Aye. Anyone opposed?
Can I give my other one?
I'm not opposed. Okay. The amendment passes, and you have one more.
I have one more. The third resolve, which has to do with the county executive, I would ask that we strike some language so that it will read, resolve that the legislature requests the county executive or a representative appointed by the county executive serve in an ex officio manner, and be it further, strike in order to provide support as needed. I don't think we want to ask them for their support. We want to ask for them for their engagement.
To be
and
present.
And I don't think we need to say in an effort to encourage and open this dialogue. I think.
And what about requests?
Well, we have to request because we can't appoint an executive, the executive or an executive appoint an executive's person to our committee. But I think it's much more in the spirit of asking that the executive or the executive's appointment serve in an ex officio manner.
Can you repeat that? That amendment again, please?
Resolve that the legislature requests the county executive or a representative appointed by the county executive serve in an ex officio manner. Strike in order to provide support. It would end with in an ex officio manner and be it further.
Thank you.
All right. On that amendment. So the amendment is passed.
Can I ask,
yes.
Because counsel just asked, and my thinking, this is really, I guess, for sponsors, my expectation was that the reason the executive's appointee, because ex officio does not mean that they're not voting, it just means they're by virtue of their office, that the reason that the executive's appointee was separated out from the regular membership was because we can't actually appoint or require the executive to have involvement, but that would follow that we can't actually have require the board of supervisors to have involvement either.
That's right.
And we have them. We can't tell this isn't a law. This is establishing a committee. We can only ask for their involvement. So, would it be better? I'm asking the question. Would it be better to
put it in there?
To put it in the membership of the committee versus its own resolved?
So is this about whether or not they have a voting?
No.
No, they have a vote. As an ex officio doesn't mean you don't have a vote.
That was, of course, in the previous paragraph.
Just I'm just asking whether or not you would put it in the previous paragraph as a member
just
of the
set of the committee.
If they're going to have a vote, they're a member of the committee, but we should probably have a seventh person on then.
Yeah.
Even numbers. But do you want to throw the same request to the comptroller?
It's the same thing.
They've audited the place.
That's a great idea.
And then put them both on as members.
Put all that last resolve right into that.
Yeah.
Second.
Yeah. I think that's great.
And then what Joe is, what Legislator Maloney is suggesting is add the comptroller or their designee as another. You would get rid of the request. You would just put them as 6 and 7. The executive or representative it's a little bit of a disconnect because in effect we are requesting in all those cases we can't make a committee and make the board the town supervisors participate, but we hope that they will and I assume
and
that they will.
Interest,
yeah, yeah, no, I assume
right?
that they will.
That's
well,
yeah.
You authorize it, you can't
but
again,
we're authorizing it, so it does kind of
yeah,
make sense to make it. I think having an uneven, an odd number does also make sense. So
I don't think getting town supervisors' involvement is going to be a problem.
No, no, yeah, I think they're the one group that's fine. I'm just making it as, like, the point.
Right.
Hypothetically, we can't make that.
Yeah.
Anybody want to read that?
I could if you want, but just it would be the end. So I would, if that were the case, I would withdraw the previous, and what is being proposed is that at the end of the second resolved, after five, well, actually, we should probably put it in, we would change the numbering.
Mm-hmm.
You would probably begin with, where would you want to insert executive as number four? And go,
yeah, probably.
So number four would become the county executive or representative appointed by the county executive. Number five would be the county comptroller,
mm-hmm.
or a representative appointed by the county comptroller. Number six would be the president, and then we would continue, of the Ulster County Association of Town Supervisors, Village Mayors. So it would we would insert a new four and five, and four would become six, and five would become seven. Does that make sense to the clerk?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I'll make that as a motion if it's what the committee desires.
And I will second that.
Okay. And I just want to be clear that it's either the title or the representative, and they decide who's the representative. Okay. On that next amendment, hopefully the last amendment.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All right. Thank you. Aye. And now on resolution number 549 as amended. Is the committee prepared to vote on that?
Can we hold on a second?
The third resolve, the one that you just withdrew, do you want to do that one then to take out?
That's deleted.
Okay,
oh, right. Then we would need to make a motion to delete that resolved in the same.
Yeah.
Which we would. A motion to. It's in the same motion,
same
but
motion.
Since I didn't actually say it, a motion to delete the third resolve. Okay. Was it in the same motion? Or do I have to say make it again before I make it?
It was in the same motion.
I think I just. Okay. You're clarifying.
Okay.
Yeah.
They have to vote on it, so.
All right. On resolution number 549 as amended.
I actually now have a question. So I on it as amended, now on the subject, I actually want to just, I am, if this is what this committee wants to do, I'm here to support it. My question is, similar to Legislator Maloney's question, is how, if we're going to establish this, how is this different than the proposed date for the meeting to, like, how is this different than what's in the agenda for future dates? And that's what I think before we vote on this, I think we need to understand, because they may be duplicative. I'm not sure.
I think it's far more intense. I mean, this committee.
Well, you weren't, hold on. May I answer? Because
yes.
I was the one who put those dates in.
Please do.
Thank you. My thinking was this very kind of conversation would be done by a subset of the energy. It would be a special meeting of the Energy Environment Committee to focus on the UCRA. But this is a real resolution in front of us, so it made sense to discuss it here now. And when we get to that, we can answer that question.
I think the question is, if the resolution passes, whether these dates go up, whether the committee bothers anymore.
The answer to that, when we get to that, is whether or not there are other things that other reasons, and I believe there are other reasons to have a focused meeting about UCRA. All right. So, on the resolution, are we ready to vote on the resolution as amended? All right. On that resolution, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Anyone opposed?
I'm still confused about the situation about these dates.
About the dates?
Yes.
How about you wait till we get to the dates?
Okay.
Unless that's going to change somebody's votes, then we'll move it up in the agenda.
Perfect.
Okay. I mean, I would say, I mean, we can wait, but I do feel like they feel connected. I am trying to understand, again, because I'm someone who wanted to have the, conversation about this, whether or not it would be this committee that would do the work and would bring in bring the people to the table. But if this committee prefers to have establish a special committee, I'm going to be supportive of establishing a special committee. But I'm not fully understanding then what the special dates are. Like, I do feel like
I think it's one or the other, which is why it was probably appropriate for you two to ask about the new business now before.
That's what
we
I'm
vote.
Trying. Yeah, I'm
because
trying to get it.
If we vote yes on this, then we're probably going to say no to this.
So
if we vote no on the commission, we're probably going to have to dive.
Or if we don't vote, or if we wait and say there needs to be a special committee to get to undertake all of this. That's where I'm at too.
The question of what's the difference between these two?
Right.
There isn't necessarily a I don't think you do both.
I'll explain it again.
Okay.
And that is when I added this to the agenda. It was to move some of the discussion about the RRA to a focus meeting because it's been taking up a huge amount of time for this committee and other parts of the legislature. And I felt like we need to start focusing on that, particularly what's going to happen in 2025 in terms of the agreement and whether or not we're going to be asking the state legislature to disband the agency. Those are big questions. Another very big question is with regard to the Reuse Innovation Center. And it seemed to me that there needed to be a focused meeting of this committee where we set aside time to begin to decide how we were going to move forward. I still think that should be the case, but I wanted to discuss it when we got there, but I'll move it up in the agenda to see what people think.
If I could. So, but everything that you just talked about, besides the innovation, the reuse center, which might be discussed by the commission only with regards to a lot of initiatives that we hope to see come out of the RRA haven't. So a productivity kind of conversation, like when we're looking at things, why things aren't being done as quickly as we were hoping, though there's been a whole coming out of the RRA. Do you think the reuse center is moving along quickly over the years, or spotting a landfill is moving along quickly? So things we thought the RRA would be doing, they're not. That's part of why we're having this commission. So in that way, the reuse center, other than that, I don't see the reuse center being talked about with this commission. But everything else that in new business, these meetings would be dealing with would be being dealt with by this commission if we passed it in theory. So we would already, if the commission passes, we're already not going to be talking for hours in energy and environment about the RRA because the commission will be. So there would be no use for these meetings for the most part because they are set to do the same thing. I think that's how most of us feel. So it's kind of one or the other. I happen to think this commission seems a little more specific and in depth at this point, and we've also now have the executive and the comptroller, the board and supervisors in theory packaged in, which they need to be. So I mean I'm for going through with the commission and probably not seeing a need for these dates. Had we made these dates and just went for it 6 months ago, I probably wouldn't even have put in for the commission, but now we're dealing with it this way. That's how I feel.
Yes.
With that said, I would be willing for our next month, for November, to maybe come in an hour early, meet at 2 instead of 3, just to kind of, I don't want to say wrap up, but because this is going to take a while to implement.
Yeah.
So maybe just to have that discussion that we don't have in the time in our meeting. Set up one meeting an hour earlier. It's just a thought.
What is the date? Oh, these are all before.
Those would be like a separate time. Like, those would be like, people would have to come up again, which is fine also.
I have been told that the responsibility for dealing with the issues of the RRA rests with the Energy, Environment, and Sustainability Committee. I do think that having meetings with the other entities that are in this resolution is very important. But I want to be careful that we don't shift that responsibility.
Legislator Stewart had his hand up.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, perhaps we could, rather than meeting an hour early before our next committee meeting, maybe we could call a special meeting on another day, perhaps on the 18th or the 19th as specified here, and try to get things hammered out a little bit more than that so we don't feel rushed trying to do an hour before our regular meeting. Because I think we're still kind of trying to figure out the proper structure of what we want to do.
The structure and the function of the oversight versus, you know, a lot of things are clearly specified either in the charter or in enabling legislation. This is a resolution that was essentially crafted or redrafted at this meeting, and there isn't clarity about roles yet.
Right.
So when we get to the part on meetings, can we figure that out so we can get through the resolutions and reports?
All right.
Can we set the meeting at that time?
I was going to say perhaps we should put off voting on this resolution until we have a better idea after one of these special meetings.
Why don't we...
Can we postpone voting on this until the end of the
postpone meeting? And get a nice clean copy and vote on it next month.
But could we also perhaps have a special meeting between now and then to kind of
if we have a special meeting, we could vote on this during the special meeting.
That's true too.
You could.
Okay.
Let's go over what date works the best. Wait, what is a session?
17th.
Oh, so it'll have to be before the 17th, or earlier in the day in the 17th if we want to get up here an hour early. And
but
decide.
Reason means, right, is before.
Yeah, it'll have to be before.
Yeah.
Or we could do the Monday. Is anyone available the Monday, so that'd be the 16th?
Sorry, but if we're going to be setting a meeting date, I'd like to have my calendar out.
Okay.
Is it the committee's sense to postpone acting on this until we have the special meeting?
If the special meeting is before, like we said, I don't want to take any more time. I'd like to start getting people together if we could, if it passes. But
so you don't want to push this to be voted on at the November session?
Correct.
That's what. Did you hear what my question was?
If I wouldn't mind postponing. If we're going to schedule a special meeting to talk further
before
about
session.
It before session.
I'm advised that the 16th is available.
It looks clear.
All good.
Okay.
Yeah, for my
dentist. More mileage. Let's do it.
I don't play mileage.
I don't either.
There we go.
What time are we thinking?
What day are we thinking?
Monday the 16th.
You already got a case of the Mondays.
If it's going to be on that day and I'm going to be able to attend, it has to be in the morning or before 2 p.m.
Could you guys swing?
I'm good.
A noon or 1 o'clock meeting? It's going to be weird to be in the building when all the workers are here. They usually come in at night.
What time would you like, Manna?
Noon.
I have a medical appointment at 2 p.m., so...
Where is it?
It's uptown.
Oh, so it's in Kingston, though.
It's in Kingston, yeah.
Can we do 12?
12 would work.
So if that's the case, then do we need to make a motion to postpone this until...
No, we'll get a nice clean copy.
Our special meeting on Monday, October 16th at...
Yes.
Noon?
Yes. You could just say till the next meeting. And then we'll cover it.
Yeah.
I'll make that motion.
I'll second that motion.
All right. Everyone in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? All right. The motion to postpone to October 16th at 12 noon carries. Let's see, where are we? Resolution number 552, establishing a policy to replace conventional toilets with composting toilets. I'm sorry, didn't we already vote on that?
No.
We postponed from last month.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Any discussion on that resolution?
Last month we talked
about it.
Any discussion on the resolution to
the sponsor?
We have the sponsor and the chair.
Okay, go ahead.
I can defer to Chair Bartels.
No, I'd rather hear from you first, because...
Okay, just a couple updates. So I've been in touch with the health department. They sent me some data from the state. Most of it seems, though, to have to do with residential wastewater treatment, so I need to follow up further with them. I do have some references here also about composting residuals, basically that... There is some state governance around taking the waste, and then you can apply it to farm fields and other things like that, which is what I believe was the case. But we can look more into the law around that and how that can be done. I had a call into Kingston Wastewater since it came up, at least in my conversation with the Public Works Commissioner, and how this building, for example, is tied into the city's water. So hearing how they handle their waste coming from our toilets, I'm still finding out more about. And let's see here. Ocker board member Jorsey here had approached me about his suggestion around bidets in this building. If he wanted to say more about that, if it would please the chair, or if anybody else had.
I just was thinking, well, you know, what everybody was saying was that could be a problem with the Board of Health, so forth and so on. And I figured, well, a bidet is a halfway measure, right? I never used one myself, but you know, but it would save on paper and so much on paper. And we are in a very water-rich area, so it's not necessarily saving water. That's all I got to say. Just off in my head, I figured I'd mention it.
Okay.
the chair would like to speak.
Go ahead.
So, yeah, it's interesting because I only did a little research, and in large, I didn't even know that they had interior compostable toilets. The only place I've ever seen compostable toilets are at places like national parks and certain campsites I've been to had them. So I was surprised to learn about interior compostable toilets. I'm very curious to know more about how you actually functionally get rid of the waste. You know, and how that happens frankly, I don't even know how many toilets do we have, and you know what I mean. That would be an interesting exercise as well. We have quite a lot of toilets, I would assume, throughout the whole county. And on my fast glance, they're pretty expensive, over $1,000 a toilet. So it's in large part the look that I did at it, to Mr. DeHorsey's point. Actually, the main reason for using compostable toilets was to conserve water, not paper. So the bidet would have the opposite effect, because it would utilize more water. I don't get that the sponsor's pushing this to move this month, but I'm not ready to support it yet, because I feel like there's a lot more that, and I really do want to know what our Department of Public Works, Buildings, Grounds, whatever, has to say about it. But functionally, it seems like a challenge, and I would want to know the extent.
All right, I don't know whose hand.
Oh, and then mine's going up.
All right, go ahead.
After our last meeting, I was sort of under the impression that you were thinking more along the lines of replacing toilets like in parks and that sort of facility, rather than in, you know, 8-story office buildings, or 6-story office buildings.
We added two floors.
One thing that I think would be a really awesome use of compostable toilets would be in municipal parks and along our trail network. And that is certainly something that I would like to investigate further and be happy to work with you on that. But there's actually been some requests made from the two municipalities that I represent how they like the idea of compostable toilets, at least the trail committees do. And so, I think that maybe if we focus more on those sort of applications rather than in and what have you, that would be a lot more, a lot more feasible. Thank you.
Just quickly, of one, I just think it would just be a hilarious, that'd be some article. I would catch some stuff. Imagine that going out, that we're going to be installing bidets in every room in the county office building. Your constituents
Aaron,
would love that.
Mustangs
and bidets. With something like this, I think going into the future, finding a large building that had success, even if it's in Europe or something, but just finding a large building out there that had done something on this, that was already a functioning building that they then retrofitted and successfully did something like this, would be a great help. But just this just seems like almost an impossibility in reality to do on this, with this building, the way it's structured now. We can't even fix the elevator.
Deputy Chair.
Legislator Hanson.
I just want to echo what Legislator Stewart said. He took the thoughts right out of my head. I think a great pilot program would be our trails or anything along those lines. I think that's a great way to start. I think it's very foreign to a lot of us. I don't think we're ready for it to be in interior buildings, but I think it would be incredible to see how it would work in our trails or outside facilities, and I think that that's maybe where you should start with this.
And I would also invite you to come to a trail advisory committee.
Yeah.
In our next meeting and talk about this, because, like I said, it totally unrelated to your efforts, I met with the trail committees from the two municipalities I represented, and both of them were just like, oh, we need to get composting toilets. I was like, well, funny you should say that, because we were just discussing this. So, yeah, I think you might find a very receptive audience.
Good point.
Yeah, in outdoor applications.
Not acting or postponing? What's your preference, Phil?
I see Council Gordon is at hand, but I'm happy for you to postpone it or not act. I guess if you haven't moved it, then not act.
Before I recognize Council Gordon, I just want to say that before I would be ready to support this, I'd like to see a greenhouse gas inventory on, because this is an extremely expensive retrofit, and I'm not convinced that that it will help with greenhouse gases, and I think that's the bottom line. Yes.
Well, I mean, I'd like to respond to everything that has been said before moving on, but also I can defer to Council Gordon first.
Well, I have some questions on wording that I think go to some of the nuts and bolts here. If we're going to postpone, I can talk to legislator and Laura Fine. If the committee wants to do it, I can discuss the wording now.
All right. Is there a motion to postpone?
Would you rather us not act, or would you rather postpone?
Okay.
All right.
Motion to postpone.
Second.
Okay. On the motion to postpone.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Okay. Motion carries.
Can I just respond to the comments that have been made? Please, thank you. Thank you for your comments, everyone. I guess I'm with this, whether we ultimately do the whole thing or pilot it at trails and stuff. I'm happy to have the conversation precisely about what the chair just said. Like, is this actually protecting the environment? Is it better? I happen to think that it must be, because we're saving the fertility, and if you set it up correctly, you won't have to consume as many resources. Like, water is not free to cycle through a toilet system and pure clean again and extract everything from. And I know that has to be done to some extent with the compost too, but it's like a simpler system in a way. That said, I recognize we have all this infrastructure in the building, so I appreciate Legislator Maloney's point about trying to find, an example of where they did the retrofit. I had a chance I've never tried a bidet either, but I did, I'm pretty sure they're standard in places like Japan, like in cities in Japan. Like, I visited my cousin there, and they had one in their apartment in Tokyo. It's not like a luxury thing, it's like a regular toilet, that's how they do it there. But, and I understand that we might be on the verge of creating some department of parks or something like that, perhaps, and maybe that this can be part of that creation. And finally, is there anything else? No, I mean, as someone who's worked in farms, and I've not, the farms I've worked on, I have to be honest, have not had the best practices in terms of recycling fertility. But if we're going to do this, I would hope that we would communicate with the agricultural community about our intention, because this is a very potentially valuable asset to our farms. And it's been talked about for a couple centuries about the loss of countryside fertility just going into the cities, and at the same time it creates this health hazard that we could actually close that loop and have healthier, dense populated areas and feed ourselves with healthier food at the same time. So that's thanks for hearing me out.
You're welcome. We have concluded the resolutions, and I'd like to ask the Department of Environment if there is a report, and I also would like to hear comments on the Reuse Innovation Center.
Sure.
Sure, I'll keep it really brief. You're working with Governor Interim Director. First of all, I see that Lisbeth, thank you for sending out notice to this committee and to the entire legislature. Did I say something?
No, no, you
paid for it. Good. So the Food Waste Prevention and Recovery Act, our department for the annual schedule we agreed on in collaboration with the Resource Recovery Agency and other partners, we have identified the list of regulated generators under that law who are required to divert their food scraps. It's about 101 businesses and institutions, and that list is now published on our website. Notice is going out to those 101 generators via emails and also phone calls, and we've also mailed letters to all 101 businesses. So that's up and running. Any questions?
I do.
Okay.
I still have a concern about how the schools are being handled. We can talk offline. Actually, I'd like to probably meet with Michael Darcy and just go over the list and ask a few questions, but I'm really glad that this is moving forward the way it is. And I just want to share with people that this law was a model of an inclusive process where everyone who was potentially affected had an opportunity for input into the law. It was hosted at the UCRA offices. UCRA participated. We had somebody from the DEC participating, and ultimately a state law came of this process. And I just want to say that I think it was a model process, and I really appreciate the follow-up from the Department of Environment. But I have a few little questions on the final list.
And I'll just add that I neglected to mention that the law, this is the 2024 list. So starting January 24 is when the law fully comes into effect and has scaled down to regulate the 0.5 ton a week or more generators. And just to answer the chair's question, to respond, we do replicate the New York State methodology. So New York State has a similar law. The county law is just more restrictive. And so we basically just defer to the state. We have a couple of calls a year with them. We use their organic resource locator data set. And I believe there's language. I encourage legislators to read the annual report that was attached to that submission that went out via email from Lisbeth, because that annual report, we kind of talked through some of that, referenced the methodology. And then also, you know, including for schools, because the law, I mean, I don't have it in front of me right now, but I do believe that there's some language in there that says an average of 0.5 tons a week or more on an annual basis. And so again, we were very closely, you know, following the language in the law. And again, we do request the data from the New York State Department of Education about the number of meals for schools. But again, that does go times, you multiply it times, I don't know, it's something like 0.46 pounds per meal per student or something like that. But then it's times 52 weeks because it's the annual average. So anyway, we can dig in and discuss further.
Well, my concern was that you were dividing by 52 and there aren't, the school is not in session 52 weeks a year. But that's a detail that I'll be glad to speak with Michael Darcy about.
Next item?
Yeah.
Okay.
Please.
Very briefly, the other thing that went out, the notice to legislators and the effects office, was the annual benchmarking report. That's required from our environment, Department of the Environment, for a resolution, I think, dated back to 2016. We publish an annual report that's also on our dedicated webpage. And the annual benchmarking report basically just tracks and reports on the energy use intensity, greenhouse gas emissions, energy use of all large county facilities over 1,000 square feet. So again, notice should have gone out, and that is on our website as well. And then the last item is the Youth Innovation Center. Again, I know we've been reporting out at a lot of committee meetings lately, so I won't belabor it except to say that, you know, again, this is a 2023 capital project. That's been, the contract has been managed by Department of the Environment. We're well along in that project. The consultant that's running it is the selected consultant, Sustainable Hudson Valley, with their sub, who's Reuse Consulting, Dave Bennick from Bellingham, Washington. And so they basically have a working draft, working final draft of the report. There's a call out that was also circulated to this committee and to the Recycling Oversight Committee to provide comments by next Friday, October 13th. And I'm joined by Barbara Todd of Sustainable Hudson Valley. If you have questions or you want to provide a brief update, Barbara.
Basically, you know, we've been working on this since last August. We've gone through a lot of steps to get here, and we're finally at a final draft, and I think it's vitally important that we hear feedback from anyone and everyone in this room. I know there's a lot of concern about UCRA. I do want to say that we would expect that UCRA would be a primary source of materials to divert from the landfill, but not necessarily the only source of materials. But we have never assumed that UCRA would or would not be managing CRIC. That's a decision that needs to be made by you guys. We suggested a steering committee, perhaps composed of members of the ROC or of the committee. Again, not our decision. But by all means, we've tried to basically funnel everything down into some high-level decision points that are at the end of this final report. And we ask that you read it, and if you want any background information or if you want to look at any of the previous reports from the five previous phases, they're all to be found on our website, Sustainable Hudson Valley's website, which is sustainhc.org. And if you want to see any of these stakeholder sessions that we've had, those are all on our YouTube channel as well. So there's plenty of info out there, and we're always available for answering any questions you may have.
And what was the date that you wanted, if we have anything, any response by?
I think we wanted 2 weeks from this test. 2 weeks from Monday this week, so.
Okay, the 20th. Yep,
we got it.
I have a few comments that I would like to share with the committee.
We're just trying to figure out the date, sorry.
Okay, thank you. I don't necessarily think it should be limited to one site. I think, for example, in the overall waste stream that is not already being managed at, for recycling by the RRA, there are materials that can be diverted but might not go to the central system, and mattresses is an example. Mattresses is something that could very well be regionalized because the county may not address enough. So, yes.
The last we heard was back in April. We thought that UCRA was trying to get some kind of permit update from the DEC to enable them to handle mattresses, and then we're working with some business or organization in New York City to handle that. Is that still in play? Because that was our assumption, that was that mattresses were going to be handled and that CRIC doing it might be duplicative.
When you have a chance, not right now, you should check that with the UCRRA. Also, furniture, it mentions cabinets, but there's a much more furniture that really should go to the Reuse Innovation Center. My main concern is...
I think the cabinets were supposed to be an example, but yes, we could certainly clarify that.
The municipal transfer stations are the first line of defense, mainly for cell haulers, but also if somebody's cleaning out a garage or basement, that's not the garbage they're going to put out if they have a hauler, they're probably going to take it to the transfer station. So I think a lot more clarity needs to
be included in terms of the role of the municipal transfer station. And also the emphasis on profitability. I like the business model, and I think that encouraging businesses and having a central location for businesses that focus on reuse and other forms of waste diversion. But I don't think profitability should be the bottom line, and it often is in a business model. I think maximum waste diversion should be the goal, and that sometimes might mean that funding from tipping fees or other sources would support that. So I think that's important. And in terms of maps, I think that the transfer stations should be an integral part of the Reuse Innovation Center, because that's the first line of defense. And I just went through an experience where I had to go to several places, and the furniture that I was bringing ended up in the dumpster anyway. And it was certainly repairable. Those are my comments. If anyone else has had a chance to look this over, if not, please provide the comments. Yes, please.
I just wanted to ask, I did reach out to Dave Bennett, and I reached out to Melissa as well, because I've been trying to get some actual information on Bellingham Reuse, because it's very successful. I'm just trying to get facts, figures, commentaries, financial statements to be had. Is there anything that I could use to go through for comparative purposes, for instance, the officer or whatever? That's it. So if anyone can assist with that, because I haven't heard back. I sent it last week.
Okay. Yeah, I can talk to you about that.
Okay. Thanks.
Okay. Anything else? Yes, please.
I'd like to introduce Anna Rapolo, our new interim executive director.
Okay.
That'll be under our next bullet.
I was going to call on you.
I'm sorry. I thought you were done.
All right. So, Barbara, right, thank you very much, and Europa. There is one other thing from the Climate Smart Committee. I want to be sure to mention that.
Did the
department, it's on the agenda, but I don't know if Europa was getting ready to leave.
I'm here.
All right, good. We'll keep things in order then. Ulster County Resource Recovery Agency, please.
Anyway, this is our you probably read in the press release, our interim executive director is going to help us find a new executive director, do landfill study, and work on the contract with the county. I'm part of it, but it's on a partially interim basis. We're only agreeing 3 months at a time and so forth. And we'll see how. Does anybody have any questions they want to ask her? Because
well, I think it's important to state Anna's background.
Oh well, Anna can have to tell you that, because I don't have.
So, I'm retired, but I was the executive director at Moxie County Solid Waste Management Authority.
Where? Moxie County Solid Waste Management Authority,
where we have 10 facilities: 3 transfer stations, concrete crushing facility, yard waste facility, biosolids facility, a MRF, household hazardous waste site, permitted, 5 days a week. So I came from there. I had a 17-member board. They were all politicians. They were either legislators, supervisors, 2 mayors, and 2 county executive appointees. So I left, I think it was like 2020, I guess it was. And I'm here to help out UCRA, try and find the new executive director, And the board was kind enough to indulge me to say, we'll work on 3 months block at a time. So when everything is kind of settled with the legislature and your contract and the new executive director, have a nice life, but I'm really just here to help.
Are you currently commuting from Rockland County or?
I am. But I'm working 15 hours a week if need be. I can work more, but a lot of what I'm doing right now is familiarizing myself with all the contracts. I do know the facility. I do know the folks that work at Ulster County Resource Recovery Agency, and I would be remiss if I didn't say the only reason why I'm here, the only reason why I'm here is because I know all of the folks that work there. And if it weren't for that reason, I probably wouldn't even committed to help out on a short-term period of time, you know, because they all do wonderful work. They all know what they're doing. And I think it's a testament to them that they kept the agency running with a lot of turnover. That is a really big testament to folks that run the day in and day out. I heard a lot about what, you know, other people, you know, maybe some of the legislators think, but from me, looking in from the outside, and that's what I was looking in from the outside up until Monday, these folks are really good at what they do, and they're very passionate about what they do, because if they weren't, you know, the waste business isn't for you.
I'd also like to mention that Anna was originally interviewed back when they got the previous, what was that, a year or two ago, whatever it was, and that because of family constraints, she wasn't able to take the position, but she probably would have got the position, from what I heard, you know, if she had been available.
Okay. I'm not able to commit to a full-time position, so.
Yeah.
And I want to say that as someone who's been following Rockland County for many, many years, close to 30 years, I'm envious of some of the wonderful things that Rockland County Solid Waste has done, including the fact that they compost sewage sludge, and were the first in the region to do that. And so, Legislator Erner, if you're serious about creating a greenhouse gas inventory, it shouldn't just be composting toilets or, you know, flushing, but what happens after the flushing? And in Rockland County, their sewage sludge does get composted in a very environmentally friendly way, and we're actually hoping to create a tour of the facility. The other thing I want to commend is the recycling education program is absolutely superb. It's outstanding and has been for years. I've taken several trips and brought people to see it. So,
oh, Carrie always mentioned your name. She did.
Any questions or discussion for Anna?
I was just going to say, well, first of all, welcome.
Yes,
thank
you.
And you know, we're excited that you're joining the agency, and your reputation precedes you. I've heard many good things about you.
Thank you.
And many good things about the facility in Rockland, and has been as Chair of Green just mentioned. You know, once you are settled, you know, we would certainly love to arrange a tour of the facility in Rockland.
Absolutely.
Because I understand it's kind of a model facility. And,
absolutely.
I think that would be a good thing. And, you know, this is something that I envision, you know, members of the legislature, members of this committee, but also other members of the legislature who have an interest in this topic, and members of the UCRA board, and then perhaps some of the employees if that fits their schedule. So, that's something that we would like to arrange, you know, sooner rather than later. But once you feel like you're able to take a breath, so because that would be great.
I think I know one or two people there.
I'm sure you probably do.
Hope, you know, with
we were hoping, you know, before. Yeah.
They just had the ribbon cutting ceremony on the new MRF. That process started before I left, and I just saw it in the paper the other day. So they have an obstacle course, but, you know, we do quite a bit of tonnage. Rockland does quite a bit of tonnage.
Awesome.
So I'm interested to see that now.
What does Rockland do with the residual waste that it can't recycle or compost?
It we go, we landfill. we go up to the Casella landfill.
I'm sorry?
Casella landfill.
Casella.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think they still go there. I'm pretty sure they still go there.
I was just wondering, are you concentrating more on the areas of sort of day-to-day operations or on finding a new executive director or on solid waste management planning, i.e., slash looking for a landfill, slash looking for a landfill alternative, or those things?
So that I've been tasked by the board for specific tasks, okay? So it would not be the day-to-day operations at this point. It would be the contract. It would be the executive director search. It was, I think there were five things on that list. There were five items. But on the day-to-day, your folks there at the at the facility are taking care of the day-to-day as they always have. If there is a concern, if there is an issue, obviously I would step in.
Well, to be more pointed, in terms of the solid waste management plan and the implementation of that, which really ultimately means finding whatever facility is going to be our facility for the future.
That's correct. So I think there's two studies. There are two studies that are out there that the board wants me to evaluate.
Okay, so you're evaluating the studies.
Correct.
Okay.
One is a landfill feasibility study, and the other is a waste management proposal. One of the things I requested that I'm not sure got into the agreement is we have a zero waste implementation plan, which is the big picture of which the Reuse Innovation Center is a key, and what UCR is already doing is, but they're, to try to maximize waste diversion, a draft plan was created, and then we had a consultant try to finish it, and maybe got three quarters of the way there. Legislator Petit is not here, but she requests that that be finished before her term is up. She is no longer going to be serving on the legislature, and the intention when we, when UCR passed the use of the local solid waste management plan, and when this body passed it, the intention was within 2 years to supplement what was in the plan with a zero waste implementation. By zero waste, we don't expect to achieve zero waste, but to move in that, approach it and move in that direction. And I agree with her and would like to find a way, and that's something that the Oversight Committee may be discussing, or we may be discussing at our special meeting, but it's critically important because the local solid waste plan had a lot of verbiage about waste diversion, but it didn't actually have a strategic plan, cost, timeline, where for all the other technologies that was spelled out very specifically. But it was, as often happens, very, what's the word, aspirational, not implementable. And we had intended to correct that and have started to work on it. It was not an official task force. It was just people with knowledge that were getting together. But I'd really like to see that be completed, and I don't know if that can fit into the work that you're doing. But even if not, if you can encourage the board and the staff to find a way to participate to get that done, I would be most appreciative, and I know that Legislator Petit would be as well.
We can, we'll try, we'll bring it up with the board. We got a lot of things we have to discuss. We got a lot of things we have to get, you know, moving and rolling. The board could always, as chairman, you could always call me here and ask me questions. I don't know specific questions about these type of things, but the general questions. And what I want to say is that that questioning a former employee of the agency about what could possibly have happened is only going to be his perspective or her perspective, and that you possibly could tread onto people's other employees' private information. Also, if you're speaking about the former executive director, He was not fired. He was separated through contract negotiations, like prenup. He signed it, he did it, he wasn't fired. That's the way I see it as, and I think it's safe to say that when he was first interviewed by the newspaper, that it was he was given the information that if he thinks that there was a cause, because he was let go with no cause, but if he thinks there's a cause, then I'd have to speak to the attorney about possibly pursuing a cause relief, which would then change everything. I don't know. I'm not a lawyer. Maybe, but I think that when you delve into personality situations like that, we had an executive session. We dealt with private information, other employees' information, and that I don't see any benefit to speaking to a former employee. Now, if they show up as a private, as a member of the public, and they speak at a meeting, that's their privilege. But I don't see how that would be very productive to call on that particular person or anybody that's been working at the agency, or anybody that works at the agency. You would either speak to the executive director or the chair, I think, first, before you go and talk to the staff. I don't think you'd like me to come in and talk to your staff about something you're doing. That's my own personal opinion, but that's how I feel. Maybe the attorney can clarify it, that we don't, you know, that that's not the situation, but that's the way I feel the situation is with personnel. There's a lot of stuff that was taken that you don't know about, basically, is what I'm going to say, that you have to take that we took into consideration. And that's what we made the decision that we did. And that's all I'm going to say on the issue.
And okay. I just want to say, in the past, someone has requested an exit interview. And we had two attorneys there to be sure that, you know, privacy wasn't violated and that everything was done correctly. We have not received a request, but committee members have discuss that possibility. So we'll be in touch with our attorneys and keep you posted.
Keep me posted, keep our attorney posted, because, you know, it could cause a lot of problems. And lawsuits, possibly, maybe.
Okay. Well, we'll be very careful about protecting the county from a lawsuit. Environmental Management Council had an interesting presentation. I don't know. Robert, do you want to mention that? I don't see Dave
The
here.
Chair, Dave Haldeman, is from the town of Shongum. He requested a presentation from Taylor about the bioprocessing facility. Legislator Green was in attendance, and Mr. McGrath of the Resource Recovery Agency, thank you for coming. I mean, it was really just information sharing. I had informed the chair that a similar presentation happened, I think, before I was with the county, somewhere around 3.5 years ago. I believe it was a committee of the legislature.
Tried 20 years ago.
Well, so it sounds like it's a similar presentation.
Yeah.
So it was just in the spirit of information sharing. I guess that's all I have to say. It was a full hour long, and there was a lot of discussion. So.
That's in the facility in Orange County?
Yes, the one that's in Montgomery there.
Right.
He's open and closed.
There is a facility.
I listened to it on the computer. I wasn't there, but I listened to it. Unfortunately, the audio was terrible. I missed half of what he said. You could hear, but everything else I couldn't hear. But he's been pursuing that for
20 years.
More than 20 years. I worked at Cardinal, which was right past the place, and that was in the 90s. And he was doing it, starting out with C&D and so forth. And he did say that most of the C&D he gets now is house cleanout. You
know,
so many dumps it. It's house cleanouts.
Yes.
And another thing that happens is that when people just tear down a whole building, the way to get to do it cheaply is they go in and they say they had to spray the whole thing for termites and it's contaminated, so they can tear it all down and take it all to the landfill instead of separating it.
Yeah. They did they went through the debris from the World Trade Center.
Yeah. Oh, I know, yeah.
Also, they were the first, at least in this region, to recycle sheetrock.
Yeah.
which is one of the main sources of odors in landfill. So the fact that they have developed that technology is a real step forward. Okay, anything else? Let's see. I think last agenda item is the Climate Smart Committee. Legislator Stewart, would you report on on this, please?
Absolutely. So Chair Green and I have had two meetings with Jonah Schenker from BOCES, and we've also had two meetings with County Executive Metzger, and one of those meetings was both of them at the same time. And you know, we've been discussing starting a Climate Smart Schools program. And initially, you know, we were hoping to run this through the Department of the Environment, and we were told that that was not the direction that the county executive wanted to go. And they felt that going through BOCES would be a wiser option because BOCES already has the relationship with the school superintendents in the various school districts. And like I said, we've had two meetings with their director, Jonah Schenker, and the initial meeting we had was, we felt very positive. We came away feeling really quite excited about the opportunities there. And then we had a second meeting. And let me back up for 1 second. The whole concept of the Climate Smart Schools program, the way that we have envisioned and discussed it, would be kind of a three-pronged stool, if you will. The first leg would be facilities management, where we would try to get the schools to, you know, be properly insulated and use LED lights and have recycling programs in place and that sort of thing. The second leg of that stool would be working with teachers in developing curriculum that would you know, discuss climate change and environmental awareness and those type of things, and work lessons on those topics into the, you know, their daily lesson plan. And then the third leg of that stool would be working with the students themselves in creating programs. And we had had, we also had I personally had a meeting with the Resource Recovery Agency, who had a great record of outreach to the schools. And so the previous director was very much in favor of this program, and we're hoping that that it will continue. So that's the goal. That's what we're trying to do. And we had, like I said, we were hoping to do this through BOCES. And then in our last meeting, we were told there were several issues had arisen that is making us kind of perhaps rethink how we're approaching this. The director of BOCES had said that that BOCES is really not in the position to dictate to the schools what they should or should not do. And that those policies really need to arise from within the school districts themselves, from the superintendents, and, you know, from those board, you know, and from those local boards of education. The county executive had expressed a thought that perhaps this might be, you know, the wrong mechanism in going about this. They also expressed reservations about adding another paid position. So we've been kind of kicking around various ideas. Chair Green had thought to present a budget amendment that would fund a schools coordinator through BOCES at the rate of at a salary of $100,000, and then we would allocate another $50,000 for a project coordinator who would actually work with as like an advisory capacity, who would work with the schools and really, you know, try to set up programs with the individual schools, and also the coordinator would be tasked with getting grants to make this a self-sustaining position. We are still kind of discussing the proper way to move forward, and if I misstate anything, Madam Jo, please let me know. But right now, like I said, BOCES had expressed some reservations about taking on a new staff person at this point, and both Director Schenker and County Executive Metzger had suggested there might be other ways to go about doing this, perhaps working on grants to start environmental clubs at schools, working for grants that would pay individual teachers stipends for acting as an advisory role in these student groups. They had also talked about perhaps raising, you know, creating grants that would fund specific student projects. I know that Chair Green feels very strongly that we really need to have a professional person with experience in these matters kind of leading the charge and not be so reliant on volunteers and also the students to take up the slack. Other ideas that were being, you know, tossed around were perhaps like one thing that Director Schenker had recommended was perhaps like a summer institute for teachers, training sessions, and those sort of things. Right now, we are kind of pursuing a two-pronged approach to this. I believe we're still planning on presenting a budget amendment, and this is all based, you know, and this could be further discussions on this, but we're going to be meeting with Clerk Fabella next week to further strategize. But we're thinking about perhaps proceeding with the budget amendment for both the coordinator as well as a consultant, although we're also considering the possibility of just trying to fund the $50,000 for the consultant alone and then have that person really kind of flesh out this proposal more and then, you know, try to go for the coordinator the following year. And so, like I said, this is all still very much in kind of the planning process.
Let me add a couple things.
Oh, by all means, please do.
When we first met with the superintendent of BOCES and they were very favorable, they said the budget would be $150,000. And as things have evolved, it seemed to me that that was a lot for one person and that $100,000 could hire a person, pay benefits, a full-time person, pay benefits and minor expenses. In the meantime, somebody reached out to someone they know who has a vast experience in teacher training regarding climate curriculum and student and staff engagement, that part. And so we're rethinking the budget that it would be $100,000 for a staff person. It's yet to be determined where they would be housed. BOCES would be ideal, but they seem, I'm not sure they're willing to anymore. We need to get clarity on that. But to have somebody available to work with each school to take them the next step and really focus on operations, focus on waste management, energy efficiency, renewable energy generation, composting on site, all the good things that And some of the school districts are already moving in that direction, but having a knowledgeable person to provide that support, to do research where needed, to speak with the Board of Education, to speak with the PTAs, whatever needed to be done, to have a staff person, and also to convene the school districts around climate change and climate solutions. So that's what we're thinking now is, and what I would like to ask the committee is if you would consider authorizing Legislator Stewart and I, or joining us in developing a budget amendment. We can send you the outline we already have and ask for input. But the schools on their own, because they have so much to deal with, are not really focused, with the possible exception of New Paltz.
I was just going to make that comment in terms of, I think that you're unfortunately going to find between districts a varying degree of enthusiasm for this. And I think it's better if this was centralized so that we wouldn't have to be going district by district and kind of finding who would be interested in participating in something like this and what district wasn't. Going district by district, I think, would kind of throw in a lot of roadblocks, I think. So this was a centralized position that reported either to BOCES or, some other department within the county, I think we're going to be much more successful in seeing fruits of this than as opposed to if it was kind of left up to the individual districts that may or may not be interested in working with this.
So you said about a budget amendment with the new with us getting ready for the new budget. How would that work, like with timing wise? Budget amendment versus putting it in the budget for 2024.
Well, the budget for 2024 is coming out on Friday.
Right.
Tomorrow.
And based on the county executive had a budget meeting this week, and it does not appear that this project will be included in the executive budget. And so...
Gotcha. All right. Now, yep, that makes sense. Thank you.
So
yes.
That's kind of where we are.
Okay. Legislator Lerner.
I know we're short on time, but what was the nature of the county executive's objection to the Department of Environment taking this on?
That the Department of Environment didn't have the relationship with the schools that BOCES did, and we were referred to BOCES. And the first meeting with BOCES was very favorable, to the point that the superintendent provided a budget and there were other indications of support, and then we met with the county executive, and then we had a meeting with both of them, and they have the best I can say is a different way of approaching it. I think they're concerned about resistance from the schools or the school districts. But this is not making anybody do anything. It's providing resources and having someone focus. And the reason that I think this is important is my own experience 30 to 20 years ago when I worked for the RRA and met the same level of resistance. And we worked together and overcame it. Every time there was an obstacle, we figured out how to overcome it and ultimately brought in musicians and puppeteers to teach about waste reduction, recycling, composting, and we had a very successful, in the face of absolute resistance, nobody wanted to recycle, or very few people, 30 years ago, but by 20 years ago, almost everybody in the county was participating, and some of our greatest opponents that were most resistant became our best advocates. So my sense is that if we don't see this as forcing, but as supplying the support that's needed and having someone there that will focus on it and not just wait and see if it happens and, you know, provide help and support. So, okay. Any other comments?
One other final little thing. You know, one thing that the kind of executive was stressing was, and I think that we both agree with, is that, you know, the Climate Corps volunteers, you know, could play a really great role in this. But we don't think that it should be strictly upon them to, you know, implement the project.
That they would supplement, but that...
Yes.
And at this point, because the person that has expertise and doesn't want a full-time job but would be glad to provide be a consultant and do, for example, the teacher trainings and very specific tasks in a similar role, that would make a really good team to have an extremely knowledgeable, experienced consultant, a staff person that was available to go to the schools and help them set goals and move forward and implement those goals. And then the students, the Climate Corps interns supplementing that. And that's how we would get the most done. So do I hear a motion?
I move we adjourn.
Well, before that, I'd like to have support from the committee. If the committee is supportive, we're not all here, but on the idea of drafting a budget amendment on behalf of the legislature.
On behalf of the committee?
On behalf of the committee, yeah.
I move that as a committee we vote to create a budget amendment funding the Climate Smart Schools program. I guess we just need to figure out what numeric value or what dollar value we're asking for.
Well, 150 is what was floated, and it seems like a fair. And we'll provide the details, but I just want to see if that's the will of the committee. I absolutely don't want to force it, but if it is the will, I'd like to...
I'll second Legislator Stewart's motion on that.
Okay. Any other discussion? All right. With that, I'll call the question. All in favor of empowering Legislator Stewart and myself to create a budget amendment. Anyone opposed?
Aye.
Motion carries. A budget amendment on the Climate Smart School program.
Great.
Okay. And now I will entertain a motion to adjourn.
So
unless there is any...
Second.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Motion carries. Meeting adjourned at 5:10 or so.